Welcome to my podcast. Welcome to this conversation about tablets. Why are we having a conversation about tablets? Well, it seems to be Android tablet season. For whatever reason, around this period of time, there are three major launches that have come and gone. One is OnePlus announced their first major tablet, the OnePlus Pad, which is going for a very iPad aesthetic. I feel like that's the major draw of that, and it's very affordable. It's like in the iPad Air price range, but with extra features that you would expect from the, say, iPad Pro. And also the interface is very iPad-like because Chinese products are like that for whatever reason. Pixel, the Pixel tablet, just launched. This is not Google's first tablet. They had the legendary Nexus 7, two iterations of that, the Nexus 10, the Nexus 9, a Chrome OS version of Nexus. I'm sorry, the Chrome OS version of the Pixel, or was it Nexus branded? What was that last tablet's branding? I don't know, but it was a Chrome OS version, evidently was not very good. This one is supposed to be okay. And finally, Amazon has been making a tablet series for years, starting with their Fire Tab that I will probably mention a little bit later. And usually two SKUs, well, actually many SKUs. There's a 7-inch, an 8-inch, and a 10-inch, and then there are plus versions of the 8-inch and the 10-inch with various storage SKUs, but they are trying to push the tablets as value. They're kind of loss leaders, and with their Fire Tab Max 11, or Tab Max 11, whatever Amazon's new premium tablet is called, they're trying to hit a little bit different of a market. It's an aluminum tablet, it's 11 inches, the screen I believe is 2K, it has a faster processor than its other tablets, so while the processor is not as fast as either of the other tablets I just mentioned, it's faster than their other tablets' processors, and they have a SKU that comes with a keyboard case and stylus, so they're really going for the premium model for this new tablet they're launching. And because it's tablet season, that's one of the reasons this episode is being made. The other reason is because one of my favorite Android podcasts, All About Android, from the Twit Network, just had their last episode, which is very sad. It's been going, the show's been running since 2011 or 2013, something like that. And on that final episode, they did an Android Hall of Fame where they talked about the greatest devices from a practical standpoint, but also from just their favorites. Devices that have hosted Android over the course of time, and that got me to thinking about my personal experience with Android tablets over the course of time. So, philosophically, tablets are a third device, or should be a third device, I guess was my thinking, but not in the way that it's thought of now. Like, I always wanted the tablet to be my main device. So you have your computer for at home, and your phone for when you're out and about, but if you're doing out and about stuff or just mobile stuff around the house for longer sessions and for anything that you would do, then that's the spot that the tablet should occupy. And unfortunately, while I do have a tablet now, which is the 2020 Tab S6 Lite from Samsung, their mid-range 2020 tablet, is the tablet that realized that dream for me. It is a fantastic device, even with this older SoC that people are like, oh, it's got this older SoC, still edits 4K video, still is premium in every other way. Like, a really, really good experience, but now, I don't need it. It didn't occupy the space that I needed it to occupy for all of these years that I've been trying to force it into, and so now that I have it, I have a laptop that's light enough and portable enough that I don't really need to have a tablet with me. The only thing that this tablet has over using a laptop is that this tablet has great speakers. It has better speakers than anything else that we have in the house, but beyond that, don't need it. But the start of my experience of trying to fit a tablet, trying to force a tablet into its niche, was right after the iPad launched. All these really chintzy Android tablets launched in the US market trying to fill that space for cheaper. And I picked up one of the first ones to launch in the States. Kmart is who hosted these Chinese, these crappy Chinese tablets. And the one I got was the Augen GenTouch 7.8, a 7-inch 16:9 resistive touchscreen tablet. So of all the tablets I'm going to talk about, there's only one that has no redeeming qualities, and that is the Augen GenTouch 7.8. What a huge waste of money. That resistive touchscreen makes it functionally useless, but also the battery life was like 45 minutes. Functionally useless. It was slower than my phone, which used the same SoC as the first Android phone. Just a piece of crap, and I'm sorry that I ever bought it. It did have an SD card slot, which is the saving grace for all of these, because I like to have lots of local media. For example, I have a copy of JLA Avengers, the crossover book from Marvel and DC that has never been released on digital. I have a digital copy of that that goes on all my devices, and I just like to have local digital media. So that's good, but not on the Augen 7.8. GenTouch 7.8. What a piece of crap. After that, I actually got a useful tablet, which was a tablet from Vizio, the VTab 8-inch. It's an 8-inch tablet, so this is before the iPad, but it had an 8-inch screen like the iPad. I think the iPad Mini, which is 7.9. This is 8 inches, but it's huge. It's like it's a brick. It's like it weighs as much as 3 iPad Minis. I think it's 2.5 pounds, so I'm being hyperbolic, but it's super heavy. It's thick. It does have some nifty tricks. It has had a very basic operating system, a really pared down version as far as user interface of Android. No app drawer. Basically, your home screen was the app drawer. And you couldn't flash it, so you couldn't put anything more robust on there. But because it's not super robust, it actually is still kind of functional. If it hadn't been broken where the speakers no longer work, the wonderful speakers, then it'd still be useful as like a media device. It was one of the first tablets to do that trick where if you change the orientation, you still get stereo speakers for the orientation that you changed. Whether it was horizontal or vertical, you still got stereo sound. Very cool. Also had the thing where you could use a universal programmable remote in the tablet. That was a common feature for phones at the time, too. Always thought that was very nifty. This tablet's a little bit too heavy to lug around as your home remote, but still very nifty. And because it was so basic, unlike some of these other tablets, the VTab 8-inch didn't suffer from bit rot as hardcore as some of these other devices did. And it's not because it's fast, it was just very basic. It had a nice IPS display, but you can see the air gap. So it's not pristine, it's not laminated, but it was good enough, and with the speakers, it would be a decent media device still. Don't use it still. It got up to Android Honeycomb, which did not give much visual difference between Android 2.3 that it had at launch, but I do appreciate that they did release that for this tablet. I used this for a while. During this period of time, I had experience with other tablets. I got my mom the Nexus 7 while I was using the VTab 8-inch, the original Nexus 7. Man, what a great idea. And at launch, it was a revelation. The Nexus 7 was fantastic. But Google cheaped out because they were trying to launch an inexpensive product, and the Nexus 7 suffered really badly from bit rot, like hardcore from bit rot. They used eMMC storage that was probably cheap, and so they did not have it run trim automatically, which is the digital version of defrag, to keep your storage fast, basically, because moving data around this solid-state storage degrades the storage, and because this was probably cheap storage, it would degrade really quickly. So it suffered from bit rot after a few months, and I had to flash like third-party ROMs and like a utility that ran trim at restart to make it even usable again after a few months. People have nostalgia for the Nexus 7, and I think the Nexus 7 second gen is probably what they really have nostalgia for, because the original Nexus 7 did really well, but that bit rot just made it kind of useless. Nifty. It felt good in the hand, but nifty tablet. Useless. My next tablet after the VTab was the Barnes & Noble Nook HD Plus. Once again, great build quality. Actually, great screen. It had a laminated 1080p display. It looked really good as compared to the other things I had. 9-inch display. Mono speaker, but loud mono speaker with decent bass. It was a good media consumption device. The downfall of this, and I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I did all kinds of things with that tablet. But the downfall of it was that it used an SoC, the CPU, the brains of the tablet, was the Texas Instruments OMAP. Was it OMAP? Yeah, OMAP processor. And Texas Instruments was a major player in the SoC space at the time, but their processors were always just a little bit behind, not quite as fast, kind of like Exynos. Like, they ran hot, and they just were not as performant as the competition at the time. So even at launch, while it was okay at launch, it suffered from bit rot pretty badly. I flashed some ROMs to get some more functionality out of it, because the OS that the Nook tablets used was a fork of Android, but it was pretty close to just regular Android. But there was some functionality lacking, Play Store stuff. So I flashed a few ROMs to get Play Store on there. It was enjoyable. I used that tablet for a while, even when it got slow, because I liked it as a media experience. But eventually, and I found out after the fact that this is something that could happen, in flashing ROMs, the storage got bricked, and there was no recovery. Like, I was always of the mindset that you could always recover an Android device, no matter how badly it was damaged, but evidently something in the persistent flashing process would brick that storage so that it would become unusable, and that's what happened to that storage. And then there was a way to run that tablet off of the SD card, but I could never get that to work consistently either. So while I do miss it, that was the end of that tablet. And then after that, actually, let's backtrack for just a second, because I forgot to mention something. While I was using the VTab, so we had the Nexus 7 for Mom, my brother got himself a touchpad, an HP touchpad, which was the major iPad competitor at the time, the major premium tablet competitor. Had kind of the iPad form factor, but it was a little bit thicker, a little bit heavier. Definitely had a hugantic air gap in that display, so the display was nice, but you could really see the distance between the glass and the actual display underneath it. But it ran WebOS, which was every tech enthusiast's old-school rose-colored glasses nostalgia favorite OS at the time, and then you could flash Android on it as well, so you could dual-boot WebOS and Android. That was a great tablet, and I wish I had had that one, but I didn't have that one. Anyway, back to the progression here. After the Nook HD Plus, or actually during the Nook HD Plus, I had purchased a couple tablets for other people. Again, my son had the Nook HD, the regular Nook HD, which had a 720p plus screen. So I think it was like 900p that screen ran at. So it was pretty for a 7-inch tablet. But the build quality just wasn't there. It wasn't built as well as the larger one. And he broke it almost immediately. Like, it was still usable, but he broke the chassis almost immediately. And he also had the first-gen Amazon Fire tablet, because it was his mother's, and she passed it down to him. And that was a much better, like, in retrospect, a much better device. It only had a 720p screen that was not quite as pretty as the one on the Nook HD. But beyond that, it was superior in every way. Just a brick. It was solid. There was no way my kid could break it, so it wasn't pretty, but it was really well built. There's no way that my son could have broken that one, and he used that for a while, much longer than he used the Nook HD that he broke. So shout out to the original Amazon Fire, great loss leader that transitioned into a successful product category for them. Kudos to Amazon. But after the Nook HD Plus, I wanted a smaller tablet, and I came upon basically the perfect form factor, which is the iPad mini form factor with the Asus ZenPad S 8.0, or 8.0 ZenPad S, 8-inch tablet. They had another ZenPad at the time that was 8 inches, but that one had the tall form factor, like 16.9 or 16.10 or whatever. This was 4.3. Basically, it had the same form factor as the iPad mini, but it had a 2K screen, which was lovely. Stereo speakers, took the SD card, but the build was, like, pretty. And I thought it was built well at the time when I bought it. I was like, man, this is nice. It had like an aluminum backplate that had like a polished bezel on the edge of the backplate so that it could catch the light and it was pretty. And then like a leatherette hand grip on the edge of that. And yeah, this was like aesthetically a really nice device, and it was super light, incredibly light. Perfect form factor for a tablet is what I found using that. The issue, because there's always an issue, is that that tablet had the Intel Atom as its SoC, so it was doing some weird translation. Like Android for x86 was not quite where it is now, so there were some weird performance issues, and also it didn't have enough RAM. Like there was a SKU that had a faster Intel Atom processor and more RAM, and that one was almost never available, so I got the 2 gigs of RAM, slower Intel Atom processor version, and it worked okay, unless you were updating apps. Anything that was memory intensive would just cause the thing to chug. And then later on, it was just bit rot. Like, you would, you know, do a factory reset and it worked okay. But as a media experience, battery life was fine. Form factor was perfect. I would probably still use that on the regular if I hadn't corner dropped it. And I thought it was built well. Dropped it coming out of the car on the corner. It even had like a book style case on it, but it bent the corner. It bent the aluminum frame and dusted the screen in that corner. Like, it still works, but it just, the top right corner is, the frame is bent and the screen is almost powder. So I took an optical epoxy resin and applied it to the dusted area so I could still use it. But even with that, it's still an irritation. Also, just, it was too slow to use on the regular pretty quickly. Which was a common thing, like bit rot set in for these tablets. Maybe it was just the ones I got because I wasn't getting the most expensive ones. I was getting like mid-range across the board. And unlike the phones, they were not performant for as long in my experience. And that was the last tablet that I'd gotten for a while. I just didn't have the need to carry the tablet on the regular at that point. The phone screens had gotten bigger, and the media experience of even reading on your phone was more pleasurable at that point in time. Enter COVID, 2020, and we're up to the modern time with my current tablet, which is the S6 Lite. And as I said before at the beginning, this thing is great. Like, it fulfilled all my tablet dreams. I know that if you talk to enthusiasts about something like this, this SoC is what hamstrings it. Like, the brains of this are just, they were mid-range at the time. They would be considered slow now, but the thing is that Android's mature enough, technology's mature enough, that it's not slow. I can edit 4K video on this thing. I can play pretty much any game I could download from the App Store or emulate up to Dreamcast flawlessly. The media experience is great. This thing, probably the Tab S6 Lite, has better speakers than any of the other electronic devices I have that have their own internal speakers, even better than either of my computers. Love this thing. It's great. But now I don't really need it. It came too late. It's one of my favorite devices, but I use it less than I use my computer or my phone. So that is what it is. If I had found a good tablet experience earlier, that might not be the case, but I was trying to push all these tablets into a category that they weren't ready for. And I hate to say it, but because I'm Team Android, but if I had jumped on the iOS train early, then I would probably be an iPad / Android phone user. So I'd still use Android phones, but I would probably be all in on iPad. Like, the Android stuff that these Android tablets do is important to me, so maybe not. But, yeah, functionality-wise, I have an old iPad too. It was my son's mother's old iPad. She bought herself a new one. She gave him the iPad too because it was broken, and she's like, your father does tech stuff, maybe you can fix it. At the time, I couldn't, but years later, I found a trick. Basically, she had drained the battery down to zero, and there's no recourse to charge the battery after it's at absolute zero. If you heat the entire device, then the battery can take on a charge. So, this iPad 2 from 2011 is pristine. It's fantastic. The battery life is still great. The standby time is eternal because iOS, especially in that day, I think it's on iOS 9, doesn't run any background services, so it doesn't do anything in the background while you're not using it. This thing is awesome. The screen, even though it's like sub 720p, I think was the base resolution for the OG iPad, that IPS display still looks good. Even with the minor screen gap, it still looks good. The onboard speaker is not the best at this point. as compared to any of this other stuff. But beyond that, like, it feels, it's built really well. It's probably a sturdier device, or it feels like a sturdier device than even the modern iPads, which are thinner and lighter. We have two of those in-house. We have an iPad 7 and an iPad 9. And so I know what they feel like as compared to. And, yeah, pleasurable experience, just not the one I want at this point. But if I had started with that, then yeah, I would still be Team iPad. This iPad 2 is an amazing older piece of technology. Like, impressive even to me. Like, most of this other stuff is IT waste, it's junk. I feel like this Samsung 2020 Tab S6 Lite will last much longer in the lineup than this other stuff, because it's still a pleasure to use, and it's still functional for the things that I use it for specifically. So until the battery is shot, which is probably a couple years down the line, this will be my tablet. I'm great with it. But if I had been on the iPad train, there wouldn't be a series of tablets here. There'd probably be two, maybe three iPads. And I hate to admit it, but it's true. So that is my tablet retrospective. Those are my tablet experiences. And yeah, if you want to talk to me about your tablet experiences or anything else, you can hit me up at Jonathan Blade, that's J-O-H-N, at all the things, at Instagram, on Twitter, Janky Old Broke Hobo Spider-Man at Jonathan Blade, on Mastodon, Jonathan Blade. I think I even have a Hive account that I have never logged into for 6 months. But yeah, I'm on all the things as Jonathan Blade, so hit me up and we'll have a conversation. As always, we'll catch you in the next episode, and thanks for listening.